And please do not forget, this Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, what do we have? Prayer watch. A time where we come together to give thanks to the Father. It's so easy to remember, it's so easy to ask for blessings and receive favor from God, but so easy to forget to give thanks and be grateful. The best thing we can ever be is to be a grateful people. And then on Friday and Saturday, what do we have? We have evangelistic outreach through the Korean mentor crew team. They'll be coming from Seoul, Korea. Starts at 7 p.m. on Friday night and again on Saturday night. And of course, come back again on the following day, Sunday. But now let's turn to the Word of God. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke. I'll read to you from chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." You know, Christmas was celebrated all over the world. Today we are still celebrating Christmas, are we? Traditionally there are 12 days of Christmas celebrations. So today we are in the fifth day, I think. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, the fifth day of Christmas. And you know, from Alaska to Zambia, and from Japan to Java, everywhere people had parties and likes and whatnot to celebrate Christmas. But yet, why is it that if all over the world Christmas is celebrated, the world is not filled with Christians? I mean, majority of Christians. In every country, there are a few Christians, but the world has yet to see a time where the majority of people believe in Jesus and live for Jesus. Because even today, many who go to church on Sunday, you have to ask, how many of them really live for Jesus? And perhaps as we've celebrated the Christmas season and still in a Christmas mood, that we ask ourselves, what lessons can we learn from these humble shepherds? We begin by reminding ourselves that Jesus has already been born. Because in verse 11, the shepherds were told, "Hey guys, today in the town of David the Savior, that is Bethlehem, the Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Savior." To all of us, we know that when we celebrate Christmas, what do we celebrate? We celebrate the coming of Jesus, who has come to save us from our sins. Amen? Whenever we celebrate Holy Communion, what do we remember? We remember that once upon a time we were poisoned by sin, and no amount of medicine on earth could fix us up. Only the gift of life that came from heaven could cancel the death of sin that was in us. Our souls were poisoned. There was a cancer in our spirits that no human hand could reach into. And so unto us, a Savior has come into this world. And there were these shepherds with their flocks, dedicated people, looking after their flocks, even though it's at night. There they are sleeping out in the open, out in the dark, out in the cool of the night. And then suddenly, night became day to them. An angel from heaven appeared. And appearing to these shepherds, where were they? They were somewhere in the region of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was only a few kilometers away from the capital, Jerusalem. God did not go to the high and mighty. God did not go to the religious leaders to whom he sent the angel to. He sent the angel to these shepherds out in the open. They were considered dirty and unclean religiously, ceremonially by the religious leaders. They were not highly thought of. They were low in status. They were of humble status. But do these people who were considered ceremonially unclean, poor, and of humble status, do these people God gave the wonderful privilege of hearing the good news? It's a reminder to us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not about being how great we are in our ability to do things for God or achieve things for God. It is in the recognition that of ourselves we can do nothing. Every good that we think we can do is nothing but stinking, filthy rags in the eyes of God and in the nose of God. But to these who are humble, who are faithfully at their job, looking after their sheep, God sent a messenger from heaven. And so suddenly, the darkness turned into noonday light, or even greater than that. I don't know. I haven't been there. I haven't seen it. But we are told that the glory of God shone. And there, as this sudden appearance of the messenger of heaven came, the shepherds were absolutely terrified. They said, oh my goodness, we're going to die. You know, when we face God without the blood of Jesus, we die. The Jews were taught, no man can see God and have life. Brothers and sisters, that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate Holy Communion, because with the blood of Jesus, we have life. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no life. Amen? So these guys, they were absolutely terrified. Oh my goodness, messenger from heaven means a representative of God has come to us, and they thought they were going to die. So what did the angel say? The angel told them in verse 10, do not be afraid. Here's the one thing that all of us should remind ourselves. Do not be afraid. Welcome Jesus into your life. Surrender your life into His hands. So many of us say, I believe, but we still stick on doing what we want, what we like, what our plans are. Very few actually say, Lord, I welcome you. I will decrease. May you increase in my life. True? We are afraid of commitment. We are afraid of letting go. What if? What if? What if? There's so many things that hold us back. We have a faith where there are many, many strings attached. And all these strings pull us away from God. That's what we are afraid of. The angel reminded the shepherds, do not be afraid. Because the news you're going to receive is good news of great joy. First of all, to hear Jesus and to believe in Jesus is to have good news. That's what the gospel means, good news. For everyone who rejects Jesus, what it is? What does it mean? What does that mean if for those who reject Jesus? Bad news. No Jesus, no life. Is that right? Make life simple for yourself. Good news is because when we have Jesus, we have life. Some people say, well, in this day and age, why do I need to believe in Jesus? Well, don't read the Bible. Just read the science magazines today, and you discover that more and more of scientific information powerfully argues for and points to a creator God. Only those who do not know science think that science has removed God from our lives. There's no need to believe in God because there is science. Those are the guys who don't know science. Because the more you know about science, the more you come to realize cosmologically, molecular, biologically speaking, and every other dimension of science, mathematically speaking, they all point to a creator God. And so, the angel told the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. You no longer need to be afraid of death. You can have life. So to receive Jesus into our hearts is to have great joy. The greatest thing you can set your heart towards in the year 2020 is what? To have Jesus in your life. Amen? Then you'll have great joy. To serve the Lord Jesus is to have great joy. To have Jesus in your heart and on your mind is to have great joy. To be in the purposes of God is to have great joy. If you want to be joyful, come to Jesus. Don't say, I believe, but move your feet, move your hands, move your life, and follow Him. The kingdom of God is not about talk, but about power. Power that comes when you move with God. So the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy, not just for Tom, Dick, and Harry, but for all people, for everyone. Turn around and say, it's for all of us. Say, including you. Look around. Look around. If you are embarrassed and shy in the family, how can you be bold and confident in sharing the gospel outside? Good news of great joy for all people. The angel didn't say, I preach to you. The angel didn't say, I proclaim to you. What did the angel say? He says, I bring to you. So right now, I bring to you the good news of great joy. Receive it, and it is yours. Amen? Receive it by faith, and it is yours. Don't wait for a spectacular sign. The power is in the Word of God. And then he reminds the shepherds what that great news was about. The great news that brings great joy, that brings goodness into our lives, comes from one and one alone. The one who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the anointed Savior. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 4 talks about the God who comes to save. The Christ is the God who comes to save us. The anointed one, the Christ, the Lord. The Lord means He is the Master. And He is the one born in the town of David. That reminds us, this is the one who was prophesied. God had promised a Savior. He didn't say, oh, by the way, oh, well, since I feel like it, I'm going to send one. No, God had prophesied that one day the Savior will come. One day the Savior will come from the tribe of Judah, out of the nation of Israel. Out of one nation, God will raise one man. And that man is the descendant of Jesse, of the tribe Judah, of the dynasty of King David. So a descendant of David will come. So here it reminds the shepherds, what was promised by God has now come true. The word of God has come true. You can believe the word of God, brothers and sisters, because it comes true. It is the truth. And so he says, I'll give you a sign so that you may believe that the word of God is reliable, so that you may believe that the word of God is true. Here is a sign. Here's a sign for you. Go and check it out. That's why I often say to you, Christianity is a scientific faith, because you can go and verify the faith. Was there a resurrection? Yes, the records show it. Was there a crucifixion? Yes, the records prove it. Was there an incarnation? Yes, the records show there were eyewitnesses who had been told about the sign and they went to check it out. So a sign was given to the shepherds. Go and check it out. What was the sign, brothers and sisters? The sign was this, in verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. When you shepherds arrive at that place, you will not find the baby being breastfed by the mother. You will not find the baby wrapped up and put in the cradle or in the crib. Where would you find the baby? You will find the baby wrapped up in cloths in the feeding trough for the horses and cattle. Huh? That's it. You will find the baby in an unusual place. That will be the sign. And when the baby was born, where was he born? He was born in a shed that was meant for animals, for donkeys and horses and cattle. Speaks of how humble our Lord Jesus came. And we who are Christians, we are called to follow our Lord. We must learn to be humble like our Lord is humble. One of the great qualities of a disciple of Jesus is one who is humble. Only when we are humble can we be secure. If we are not humble, we are not secure. And if we are insecure, whenever we do anything, we want attention. We want people to pat us on the back. We want to be appreciated. But if we are secure in knowing our God, we will gladly do what God tells us to do, because we know that He sees all things, He knows all things, and we are secure in Him. Amen? Our Lord Jesus came humbly, born in a manger. Birth in Bethlehem, a small little town. And where was he when the shepherds found him? In a feeding trough for animals. So don't complain about your circumstances, right? Oh, it's too hot, I'm not going to go to church. No. Our Lord Jesus did not consider circumstances. He came to fulfill the promise of God the Father. And so may we rise up to fulfill the calling of God upon our lives. And then what happened? So, having told these bunch of shepherds that there is a sign for them to check out, what happened? Suddenly, as though it was not bright enough, more light came. And together with the light, the whole place was filled with song. The whole place was filled with singing, like those you guys are singing. Gloria in excelsis. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace upon all upon whom God's favor rests. And so, what does it say to us? It says that the angel, having declared to the shepherds the good news of great joy, that the message that has come from heaven, the message that was delivered by a heavenly messenger, That message was reinforced and confirmed by a multitude of angels from heaven. Because we are told a company of angels from heaven joined that one angel. Verse 13 says, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men upon whom his favor rests. So the message was reinforced by a further company of angels from heaven. And then, as suddenly as the messengers came, just as suddenly they disappeared. So verse 15 tells us, the angels left. So what did the shepherds do? The response of the shepherds. It's in the middle of night. Suddenly it was bright. And now it's black to darkness again. It's cold. It's dark. They're out in the fields. Everyone is asleep. What would you normally do? Let's get back to sleep, right? Someone disturbed our sleep. We're going to wake up in the morning to look after the sheep. And these guys came and disturbed our sleep. Were they mourning and groaning and grumbling? No. They were excited. Why? Because they had believed the message from the angels said, good news of great joy. The Messiah has come. Why the good news? The Messiah has come. Why the great joy? The Messiah has come. We will be saved from our sins. So what did they do? They said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They believed that the angels had come from heaven. They believed that the message that was delivered to them had come from God Almighty Himself. When we say that we believe the Bible, when we say that we believe the Gospels, when we believe the Word of God, what are we saying? We're saying that we're receiving the message that comes from God in heaven. So what does that mean if we reject the Word of God? If we hear it but do not obey and do not do? You are rejecting God. You are rejecting the Word of God. Is that right? Does that make sense? Because these shepherds, humble though they were, they may be humble of status, but they were not stupid. They knew that this is something from heaven. And so they said, let us go. Let us go. And why? Because they wanted to find out if it's true. If it is true, then it is good news. If it is true, their lives will be changed. They will be changed into a life of joy, great joy. And because if the angels are true, then the light has come. Anyone remember Tuesday night? Remember Tuesday night? If the angels' message was true, the light has come. For those of you who are not with us on Tuesday night, that was the title of our performance. The light has come. We celebrate the coming of the light of heaven. The Bible says in John 1 chapter 4, in him was life. Who was this him? The Word of God, the eternal Logos. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. John 1 verse 4. The light has come. Yeah. With the coming of the light means the canceling of the darkness of sin and death and condemnation. That is why it is great joy. And so they said, let us go. Let us go and check it out. When they had this encounter with the angels, a spiritual encounter of the most magnificent kind. I wish our spiritual encounters were like this, when the angels would come and suddenly show up. But they, having had this spiritual encounter, they were moved to do something. It's one thing to hear the Word of God and to meet with God. It's another thing to be changed by the encounter. These shepherds, they were changed. Instead of going back to sleep, instead of saying, oh, it's cold, it's dark, Nobody's awake. Why bother? They got up. And how did they get up? The Bible says, let us go and see this thing that has happened. Verse 16 tells us they hurried off. They did not just go, stroll along. They went out in haste. They were keen. They were eager to find out for themselves if the good news is true or false. And if we know that the good news is true, we will go out in haste. We will go out in zeal to witness for the Lord Jesus. Because what does the passage further tell us? In verse 16, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So they found the baby as they were told. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know something? The shepherds, having heard the angel's message, they hurried off, they rushed off in the middle of the night, in the middle of the cold. They went to look for that sign, to verify and to confirm if the word of God is true. And having discovered that the word of God is true, how did they respond? I asked you to pay particular attention, because if you believe that the word of God is true, that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins because he came as the promised Messiah, then how should we respond to the coming of Christ into our lives? Listen to what the shepherds did. When they had seen the baby Jesus wrapped up in cloths, lying in the manger, as was told them by the angels, by the message of heaven, what did they do? They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. What did the shepherds do? They spread the word. The wonderful privilege of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful privilege of we who call ourselves disciples of Christ is that we be equipped and trained. So like the shepherds, we go and tell others about Jesus. Now they had supernatural training by the angel and the multitude of angels. Today we have God instituting a series of measures by which his people may be trained and equipped so that they too can share the gospel. I've told you about it many times from the book of Ephesians. But let's come back to this particular little verse there. It says, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Let me ask you a question. To whom did they spread the good news? When they had seen Jesus, they spread the good news that had been told to them by the angel. Firstly, to Mary and Joseph. Hello? They had a message from heaven, and they shared it with Mary and Joseph, who already believed. Here's a reminder to us, if we hear something from God, a message, the word of God, we share it among the brothers and sisters so that we may mutually encourage one another. How do I know that Mary and Joseph also heard it? Because verse 18 says, verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In other words, what the shepherds had shared with, what the angels had shared with the shepherds had shared it with Mary and Joseph. And so it is recorded for us in verse 19 that Mary treasured what was said in her heart and pondered over it. So when God blesses us, it is important that we give the glory to God and let it be an encouragement to the people of God. And then the shepherds then shared it with others that they met along the way as they returned to their flocks. And so in this way, they are witnesses to the gospel message. And like I've said to you, may it be a lesson for all of us that if Jesus Christ truly is your Savior and your Lord and your God, as these shepherds have discovered Jesus to be, then how should we respond to the faith that we have? Is there a change in our lives where the focus of our living is that we share the good news? Hello? What is the focus of our living? Is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives, a line where our lives are totally changed, that our values become different, so that we are able to say, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let my kingdom go and let my will go as well. In other words, like Paul says, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. The good news first came to the shepherds. The good news that the chief shepherd brings to the under shepherds. We can be like the shepherds. Choose to be under shepherds of our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing others to come to know Jesus. And our Lord Jesus comes as the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And he said, as I've mentioned to you earlier, it is the life of Jesus that is our light. Until we have Jesus in us, we don't have the light of God. We may confess this and confess this and say that, but the way we live shows whether we have the light of Jesus in us or not. Hello? It is the way we live, not the words we say. Many claim to be Christians. Many confess Christians, but Jesus says it is as the way you live, as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are the sons of God. For many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord. And he say, go away from me, I do not know you. How do we receive the Christ of Christmas? How do we respond to the gift of Christmas? May we be like these humble shepherds. They gave glory to God. They gave praises to God. And wherever they went, even including Mary and Joseph, they shared the good news. And with everyone that they met along the way. And so it may be such that in our hearts and in our lives, we have Christ on our mind, in our hearts and on our tongue. That wherever we go, Christ is number one in our lives. That wherever we go, we are messengers of good news in the way we live and in the way we speak and in the way we conduct ourselves. These are what disciples of Jesus Christ are. He didn't call us to believe. If you believe, you are the same rank as the demons. He called us to be disciples, to be followers. Follow me, he said. Follow me, he said. Follow me, he said. 90 times in the New Testament, you see the word follow. And so, as we come together as the family of God, as the people of God, as the called out people, we become his lampstand. We become his light to our part of the world. We become his salt to our part of the earth. Then we can see if every disciple of Christ all over the world behaves the way that Jesus has called them to behave, then indeed the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas, as mentioned to us in Isaiah 9, 11 verse 9 and Habakkuk 2 verse 14. On Christmas Eve, we were reminded, the light has come. Today I say to you once again, the light has come. How should we respond? Ask the person next to you. How should we respond? If you haven't asked the person next to you, just turn to them and smile at them. You'll be surprised. Your looking at them is very important. You can choose to allow yourself to be the messenger of God to the person next to you. Do you know what the word messenger, angel means? Angel simply means messenger. Malachi. And if you turn to the person and ask that question or provoke an answer, you are God's messenger to that person. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. It is as you arise and shine for God that the glory of God comes upon you. Amen? Is that what your Bible says? There's a sequence of events. When you rise up in faith, when you rise up to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, when you rise up to say, Lord, I believe in you, and I'm going to receive you, and I'm going to serve you, as you rise up, then the glory of God comes upon you. Here, when it says, arise, for the light has come, I'm sure all of you agree with me. Here, the word light refers to our Lord Jesus, right? Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, the light there refers to the coming of the light, Jesus Christ. And so, if he has come, then may we, if we believe, rise up. Rise up. Paul says, arise, be awakened, you sleepers from the dead. Some may have confessed Christ at one time or another, but then they've gone into the sleep of backsliding. They go through the motions of being a Christian, even go to church, may even sing a few songs, but in their hearts they've slided away from God. Maybe we need to rise up from the slumber of compromise and lukewarmness. What is convenient, we'll do it. What is not inconvenient, we'll ignore it. Or maybe the fire of God has gone cold because of discouragement or doubt or fears, including the fear of commitment. Maybe we've gone to sleep because of past mistakes, past failures, past disappointments. No matter what situation we are lying in, today the Word of God says, let's say it together, arise, arise, let us rise up together. Amen? Let us rise up together. You're not rising up for me. You're rising up for yourself because God has placed a calling upon His people. It's up to us to rise up to the call of God. And when we rise up to the call of God and do what He tells us to do, what are we doing? We're going to fulfill the Great Commission. He says, go, make disciples. How? Baptize them and teach them all that I have taught. Amen? Don't just sit, baptize and don't teach. And if don't just receive baptism and ignore instruction. The Bible says, go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey all that I have taught you. When we arise, then the glory of God will come upon us. When we rise up together as God's family, then the glory of God will come upon the whole family and all will be included. And when we rise up to God's promise, what did I say to you on Christmas Day? He says, He will make you to be 1,000 times more than before. Moses recorded it for us. He says, may the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. So would you arise? Let's arise.